You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay. If we don't have any more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Romans chapter 7, verses 21 through 25. I find then a law that, which I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And Father God, we just want to thank you for this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, let's start with prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we pause now to say thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that you've completed it and given it to us and provided a way that we might understand what we need to do to be approved in your sight. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray that through our walk, we are approved in your sight and give a great testimony of your son, Christ Jesus. And help others to see what the hope is within us, that we might share the eternal truth with them, that you wish they to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we get to meet here freely in this church and assembly. We thank you for the fact that we get to share the word over the internet and witness to that fact. So everything that we do, we hope is in honor of you. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. 2 weeks ago, I was able to give a lesson on the ambassador of Christ, being the ambassador of Christ. And in that lesson, we talked about the behavior of the ambassador was important. The fact that, obviously, the behavior of an ambassador has impact on the reputation of what you're being an ambassador for. Just like the lesson this morning, the lesson for the character quality was to honor. And honor was an important aspect in a child's life, that he give honor to his mother and father, because that's what Christ instructed in the scriptures. Well, there's something about your behavior that I want to talk about today. The behavior comes from you, your behavior, and your behavior stems from your old nature and also stems from your new nature. Okay, what about old new nature? What is this thing? Well, last time I read in Romans 7 where the Apostle Paul was discussing the frustrations he had in the flesh. If you see here, Romans chapter 7, we'll start reading verse 5. He says, "For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead from wherein we are held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, therefore taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That's a tough word. For without a law, sin is dead. Concupiscence, that word means, I looked it up, and I practiced it, and it means lust. The lust of the flesh is what that word means. So this lust of the flesh is wrought in Paul. And he says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now when it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that is, when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver from me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. Now chapter 8 verse 1. He says, now therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul here was describing this war, the fact that when he wants to do good, he finds sins with him and he doesn't do it. And he's constantly battling this inward conflict. Well, if you back up to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we start here seeing the Roman road. The Roman road was what I've described as this road when you take to understand you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Matter of fact, Paul, back in Psalms chapter 51, David. David, back in Psalms chapter 51, when he had sinned with Bathsheba. Chapter 51 was where David was greatly sorrowful about his actions in the flesh. And it's not in the handout, but go back to Psalms 51. Psalms 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash for me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin did my mother conceive me. As we talked about being ambassador for Christ, I talked about behavior, and we talked about, okay, when are you a sinner? Well, the students said, when you're born. I said, that's wrong. You're a sinner when you're conceived in your mother's womb. David acknowledged that fact in Psalms 51:5. In sin did my mother conceive me. So you're conceived a sinner, you're born a sinner, you're raised a sinner, until you receive Christ as your personal Savior. You are only with this old man. Until you become saved, you're given the deposit of the Holy Spirit, and that makes a new man. The new nature. So this new nature exists when we become saved. Now, we started talking about raising this new nature. As you raise a baby, we have a chart in the wall back in the room where I teach. On that chart, it's a roadmap. And there's a stop sign, and that's where you make a decision to accept Christ. Once you accept Christ, you are on the righteous road. Now, it's not your righteousness, it's His righteousness road. So the first place you stop is grace gas. You fill up with grace. The second place you stop is the doctrine DQ. Now, there's a baby outside the doctrine DQ. And I say, what do you feed a baby? A steak? Do you feed him the meat of the word? No. You feed a baby milk. You feed a baby the milk of the word. So, growing this new nature within you, you start with the milk of the word. You get in the scriptures. Like Romans 8, chapter 1, there's no condemnation which there in Christ Jesus, who now not walketh the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you find out how to walk after the Spirit? When you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. Is there a rushing wind? Are there clothes of fire, like in the Acts period? No. You're given this deposit, which is your earnest expectation of what He's given you until you are in His presence. Right now, as ambassadors for Christ, our citizenships are in the heavenlies. We're walking here on earth, and our behavior is representing what a Christian should be. So, back to the Roman road, we see Romans 6:23. Well, since we're conceived in sin, since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we see Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin is death. You know, as we watched the Truth Project, that was really great because we saw many episodes in there saying, Jesus Christ came to represent the truth. And the truth is, God would hope that all men and women become saved, that they may have eternal life with Him. But I think that the greatest sin, you know, as you start looking at sin, you start trying to reconcile big sins and little sins. Okay, maybe a white lie is a little sin. Maybe committing murder is a big sin. You can see in Scripture where God has given punishment for certain sins. Basically, back when in the Old Testament, Israel was given the right to take a life if they had taken life. So, from God's perspective, there's different punishments for these sins. So, yeah, maybe there's, you know, just a white lie. If you don't tell the truth, if you maybe you kind of bend the truth, you're really not sinning, are you? No. All sin is sin. If you even think a bad thought, it's sin. You're conceived in sin. You can't get away from it. The only way you can get away from it is die. Treat your body as dead, and then you are walking in the Spirit. Now, that's not like other religions saying, go out and commit bombing, strap a bunch of bombs to yourself and go in the crowd and hit the button, explode it, and then you'll receive a greater blessing in heaven. Absolutely not. In Christianity, we're told to live for Christ. In living, we should treat our body as dead to set our affections in the heavenlies, not on things on the earth. So we're to behave spiritually, be spiritually minded, not earthly minded. Well, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 5. So, for they that are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are flesh in the flesh cannot please God. But they that are in the flesh, but they that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So one of the keys to this new nature, when you're saved, you see in Romans 8, verse 9, the Spirit of God dwell in you. You don't receive that until you accept Christ as your Savior. Once you receive that, you're sealed. You have the new nature. You can't get rid of the new nature. It's in you. Now, you could probably not feed the new nature. If you don't feed it the milk of the Word, then the new nature will be a baby forever. This baby will be immature, will not please God. You know, most babies get in trouble. They do bad things. They don't learn unless their parents train them appropriately. And you should be trained as a Christian. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25, gives us a description of the old nature and the new nature. In verse 19, you see, the works of the flesh are manifest with these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the times past, they that which do such things shall not inherit in the kingdom of God. These are the works of the flesh. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the new nature, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Now, the fact that you get this new nature when you're saved, you find in Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, the great news that once you're sealed for good. Now, there are some that think that you can fall from your salvation. So they live in fear. They live in fear because if I do wrong, man, maybe I've lost my salvation. Bunkers. That's not true. Read Ephesians 1:11 with me. 1 through 11 through 14. In whom you have obtained inheritance in Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things at the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is our earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his glory. This sealed Holy Spirit within us is the earnest of our inheritance. Our inheritance is in Christ, far above all principalities and powers. That's why we're an ambassador for Christ, because our citizenship is in the heavenlies with him, far above all principalities and powers. And when we're saved, we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Colossians 3:10 says that we have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. This new man, we drop down to verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. You're an ambassador for Christ. Whatever you do, in word or deed, with this ambassador role, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul had a great relationship with Timothy. And he was writing to him, and he told him in verse 15, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Now, what are the benefits of being raised in the Scriptures? Well, as we talked in the class back there where that baby was drinking the milk of the Word, along the road he gets to Armory Steakhouse. So as he matures, he gets into the meat of the Word. And he eats at Armory Steakhouse. So, as you grow in the knowledge of Scriptures, you're able to handle the meatier things in Scriptures. And now, if you're here, as Paul said, if you've known the Scriptures from a child, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, that word perfect is not perfection, like without error. The word perfection is the word artios, which means without lacking anything. So we have everything we need in Scripture, so we might be thoroughly furnished on all the good works. As this ambassador for Christ, we have everything we need. We have the instruction manual. As we taught back in the classroom, I asked the kids, "Have you ever built a model? Have you ever built a model plane, model car?" I said, "Model car. Great. Did you go buy it in a box?" "Yeah, yeah." "Okay, when you bought it and you got out of your box, you just, man, I can't wait to build this model car, start building it, and you're done?" "Well, no, I had to read the instructions first." "What? You had to read the instructions? Okay, since you read the instructions, what did it do?" "Well, it told me step one, step two, and I got to step 10, and when I got done, it was beautiful." So you mean to tell me the instructions taught you how to build that model car? Yeah. So without the instructions, you couldn't have built that car. You could have tried, but you probably would have had a lot of errors, would you? Yeah, that's true. Well, this book right here, the Bible, it's your instruction manual for life. So if you read the instruction manual for life, you're going to be a lot better off in your walk with the Lord. Oh, now I get it. Hebrews 4:12. "The Word of God is sharp, is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's a great diagram on the next page. A guy named Clarence Larkin wrote a book, and in it he was a architect. So at the turn of the century, he felt motivated to do a book of charts based on scriptural concepts. And the new nature is an aspect where you can study the tripart nature of man. And three parts consist of body, soul, and spirit. As you see here in the diagram, we have the outside circle, which is the carnal, represents the body. That's where we have our five senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. We have the natural portion, which is the next circle inside. natural man, that inside part is where we get imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. In the inner part, the most inner circle, is the spirit. That's the spiritual sense. And the sense facilities there are faith, hope, reverence, prayer, worship. So, as we read in Ephesians, this deposit of the Holy Spirit comes in the spirit section, and that's where we're sealed until the day of redemption. So body and soul, this part of the old nature, the new nature, is a spirit part. Now, what's interesting about that, if you look at the soul, you get into things like imagination and conscience. Well, if you turn the page, there are some scriptures on that. Let's go down to look at the conscience section. Now, in conscience, have you ever heard about let your conscience be your guide? I think somebody named Jiminy Cricket, who's part of this great organization called Disney, had a movie where little Jiminy Cricket was saying, let your conscience be your guide. Yay! Well, guess what? There's a good and pure conscience, but there's a bad, evil, and weak conscience. A good, it says in 1 Timothy 1:5, not the end of the commandment is charity out of the pure heart of a good conscience of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 1:19 said, holding faith and a good conscience, which having some put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. So you can shipwreck a conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9 through 10 said, holding the mystery of faith and pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, and then let them use office of a deacon being found blameless. So a deacon should have a pure conscience. Well, when you get to 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2, we start seeing the bad, evil, or weak conscience. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, my first job was a dishwasher at a steakhouse. I was back there washing those dishes, and I eventually made my way up to the busboy, and then I made my way up to assistant cook. Now, assistant cook is pretty cool because you're just one stage away from being the cook. Being a cook in a steakhouse is it. That's the number one job. Well, when I was this assistant cook in the steakhouse, my job was to prepare the bread, prepare the baked potatoes, prepare the fries. Now, preparing the baked potatoes, we had a big oven, so I had cleaned and prepared the big tray of baked potatoes, put them in the oven, and bing, you know, it went off, had to go back and retrieve those baked potatoes. So I got the tray, and I turned, and my arm touched the door of the oven. So the scripture, having your conscience seared with a hot iron, I immediately knew what that was when I touched that door, because that door was my hot iron. Those potatoes went everywhere. So, that conscience being seared with a hot iron is not a good thing. If, as you can see, those that have this conscience seared with a hot iron are believing in seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. 1 Corinthians 8:12-13 says, but when you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if meat by my brother to offend, I will not eat flesh by the whole word standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Here's a statement where if your behavior causes shipwreck from others watching you, you've sinned against Christ. So, a conscience can be a good thing or a bad thing. Having it seared with hot iron is definitely a bad thing. Now, look at, go to the next page. I'm sorry, it's still on page 4. Go to the imagination portion. That's under the natural portion. The imagination, most people say, I have a good imagination. Well, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So, what did he do? He brought a flood. And afterwards, Noah made an offering unto the Lord in Genesis 8:21. And the Lord said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. So the imagination, if it's left unchecked, is evil from his youth continually. So, clearly, the wrestling within ourselves of this old new nature. The way you feed the new nature is through the Scripture, through fellowship with Christians, and prayer with Christ. The way you feed your old nature is you just wake up in the morning. You start feeding it every second of every day. If you let the old nature go unchecked, it'll be a bad deal. So you got to keep it in check. As an ambassador for Christ, you have to realize this battle of the old new nature is going on within you. So feed the new nature so you might do the good works that God would have us do. The rest of the handout is a chart that was put out by Robert Atchison Hayden. And he does a really in-depth study of the old and new nature. We're not going to go into it because we're out of time. But since you have a handout, you have something now to study at home. So I encourage you to go look up the scriptures on the comparison between the old and new natures and acknowledge the fact that you have this fight within you. And might we pray that we were led to the scriptures and that we might strengthen our new nature to do what's right in God's eyes. So with that, we'll end in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the scriptures where we learned about the old and new nature. We learned that the new nature is given to us when we accept Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit is our earnest deposit of our inheritance. And we're sealed with that. And we thank you for that fact. And what a glorious thing you've done for us to give us this new nature. And we pray that we strengthen it by the Word of God, by fellowship with Christians, and with prayer with you. And we thank you for the scriptures where we learn about you and basically how we should walk and behave and be the appropriate ambassador for Christ so others might know the reason of the hope of this witness. We thank you for that. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.